We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Learfield, it's time for the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group, the K-State Superstore, and Kansas Land Tire. Now, with more than 45 combined years on the K-State Sports Network, here are your hosts, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Wildcat Podcast. For the week, I'm Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Cats, joined by longtime color analyst Stan Weber. On today's show, most of our focus will be about Kansas State football. After a week off, the Wildcats are set to play host to the Baylor Bears, hoping for a 36th consecutive sellout. The ball game on Saturday is at 2:30. I know what I did over the weekend on the weekend off, Stan Weber. I watched a ton of football. I'm going to guess you watched that plus more, right?
I don't know how many pounds it would be, but there's probably not enough food to weigh that much because it was tons and tons. And college football is a great product, and we're very lucky to be able to follow K-State so closely and bring all the action to everyone along the Learfield sports channels. And it just reminded me again how much I wish K-State were playing and how great the game is, because I was able to take it in for so many hours, starting with 11 o'clock kickoffs. That's right, they kick it off at 11:01, I think, somewhere in some of these games, and then still watching into Sunday. It was middle of Saturday night, Sunday morning before the games actually ended, and it was a lot of fun to watch, but I sure missed out that the Cats weren't playing.
Yeah, me too. And it's really interesting, I think, as we kind of go a little bit backwards in terms of format, because K-State was off, it really was, I think, interesting to watch the Big 12 games this week. And because of how well Baylor played against Oklahoma, I'm curious as to if you're thinking along the lines of some of the fan base, some of the media people, that maybe the league is a little bit more even than some would like to think. I think you can also throw KU's a little bit of a comeback against West Virginia in that third quarter into that mix. And obviously the biggie, of course, was TCU winning at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, you start at the top and you just say, well, Oklahoma went and won on the road at Ohio State, did it in grand fashion, and Oklahoma State has looked so flawless during the non-conference, including a big win at Pittsburgh and two wins on the road, that it looked like they were number one and number two playing for the college football playoff, and then everyone else was fighting and valuing third place. Nothing wrong with getting third place, but you'd like to be in the Big 12 championship game, the newly reinstated, and get to second place. And right away in the first conference game, TCU goes out and wins a game on the road in Stillwater. So then it definitely caught our attention early in the day to say, well, the competitiveness is on. Who's not going to think about TCU winning the Big 12 championship, or at least getting into the championship game? And then K-State has their eyes on it. We know West Virginia's played well, and look at the Longhorns, what they did against USC going into the overtimes. And Oklahoma, well, they're way out in front until you watch the game that night, and you go, wow, Baylor is playing with them and doing a very good job, especially during the second half, matching them touchdown for touchdown. And you start thinking about, boy, there isn't a competitive level here that we didn't think about going into the weekend. It's not just Oklahoma and Oklahoma State going to coronate themselves and be ready for the Big 12 championship game in Dallas. There's a lot of competitiveness. But on the other side, games that you might have thought, well, we're going to be the favorite in that game and take care of business, that should be a W, that also changed. So the positive and negative is there. The positive saying, why not us to win a Big 12 championship? And on the other side, where are those easy wins going to come from? Boy, Baylor changed the dynamics. You think about their team completely from, hey, didn't you see that they lost to Liberty and they went on the road and lost to Duke and they haven't won a game, to, wow, they're playing with Baker Mayfield and Oklahoma and they look like they're the old Baylor team we've seen in the last 5 or 6 years. So it gets a new respect for the latter part, the bottom part of the conference. They're playing better than we thought. The middle's playing a lot better when you look at what Texas did against USC and what TCU did against Oklahoma State. And then the upper parts, maybe you can compete with them. So a lot of different messages come out. But for K-State right away, you say, oh, they look a lot like the old Baylor. And that is the respect level K-State fans need to be focused in on right now, because Coach Rhule has been doing things the way he wanted, more of a Temple style, slow things down, pound it out, be physical. That's what he wants to get to. He wants to be K-State in the future. He said that during this week. But Wyatt, they're not K-State yet, so they've reverted back last week. Starting last week against Oklahoma, they said, why don't we do some things that we're good at? Let's get away from the physical offensive style, and let's let the ball fly. And they did that very well. So Baylor looked much better against Oklahoma than they have at any time this year.
There are a lot of reasons why I very much enjoy working with my partner, but one of the reasons that always seems to stick out is the fact that you played the game. Having said that, it makes me ask this. In watching that Baylor-Oklahoma game in Waco the other night, it seemed like after the first couple of throws were good and on target for Zach Smith, he became kind of a different guy. You could almost see it. I thought I was seeing it. What were you seeing? Is that accurate?
No doubt about it, Wyatt. Yeah. There's got to be a confidence level, a comfort level. And sometimes when you're younger, it's game by game. So can you get off to a solid start?
Right.
And if not, it's sometimes hard for younger quarterbacks to find their way and get back to where they need to be. The Peyton Mannings of the world, one of the things that made them so great is when they weren't having the good day, that they didn't let that affect them, and they said, it's going to come around. I'll get hot here sometime. But what we saw last year with a young quarterback, and there's been a great run since RG3, right, back in 2010, 2011 at Baylor, they've had a heck of a run of quarterbacks. And Zach Smith might be another one of these guys, Wyatt. He sure looks the part. But last year he got thrown in. Remember his first start was against K-State?
It was.
And he did a lot of good things, but he had a couple of interceptions and a couple of missed third down throws, and you could just tell he wasn't as confident as he needed to be. Well, this year you come in, you get a new system, a new coach, and guess what? They don't choose him as the quarterback, Wyatt. So how can your confidence level be very high when you're not the starting quarterback? Solomon got the job. But a couple games ago, they gave Zach Smith his chance. But that's a tough road. At Duke, that's not the best place to start your season. So he did some things, but still didn't show that he was fully engaged and believing in himself. Then he hit a few throws against Oklahoma. Now, here's a kid who's started 6 times. He's earned his way, and there's no doubt in that locker room. Just think about it, Wyatt. There's no doubt in the locker room at Baylor who the starting quarterback should be. New coaching staff, they're sold. Mm-hmm. Old players, new players, no doubt about it, they know Zach Smith can be the guy. And when he made a few good throws against the Oklahoma Sooners, who went and did so much, so well, and shut down that Ohio State offense, you could immediately see him turning on. And this is the prospect that we saw watching him develop last year and then seeing him play against K-State, Wyatt, there wasn't much doubt in my mind that quarterback Zach Smith was going to be another one of these good Baylor quarterbacks with a great pocket presence, accuracy in his throws, ability to get the ball downfield, and it seems like just a very good kid with a sound understanding of the game. He's become dangerous, and it all started, really, when he confirmed he's a starter this year, and he can get it done against Oklahoma. He grew up last week, and because of that, K-State's dealing with a normal last 5 or 6 years type quarterback at Baylor. Not someone who's inexperienced, not someone who's struggling, but someone who's on fire. And K-State better get ready for it, because I think we're going to get the full-bore Baylor offense with Smith playing the way he is.
All right, let's switch gears here and talk about the Wildcats. After that week off, you've been around Kansas State football a long time. You know the numbers. Bill Snyder has an excellent record in games played after a bye week. What is it that happens in that bye week, generally speaking, that gets Kansas State back into the win column so quickly, at least in this particular case, after the loss at Vandy a couple of weeks ago?
Well, there's a steadiness about the program that Bill Snyder brings, and that's important after a loss. So we know his record's good after a loss. That's because he doesn't go crazy and lose his head and change things and fire coaches and blame people and make comments in public that make you wonder what's going on. The waters are very calm. But when K-State gets a week off, I think there's a new appreciation for the players. One of the things I think Coach Snyder does so well with his team is he almost puts them in a trance where they just go to work every day. And you've heard him say so often now, Wyatt, he's been around almost 30 years telling us, we're just trying to get better every day.
Yep.
Well, if you're around the team, like you get a chance to be, Wyatt, and we get to see that they actually try to do that. They are so focused on getting better today that I think they almost get into a trance and just grind it out each day. When that happens, there's a lot of positives, that they don't get off course when they're on the road or they get down by 2 touchdowns, they just keep playing. But I think there's one little missing piece that you really see when they get a bye week, and that is, are they just getting their job done today? Are they really enthusiastic? And do they value the chance that they get to play college football? I mean, I know they have a job to do, go to class, be good citizens, and practice and play football well, Wyatt. But shouldn't there just be a joy? When you were sitting at the games, when you were watching last Saturday, we talked about this earlier, wouldn't it be great to be one of those football players? I mean, even as old as we are, you think, wouldn't it be great to have a helmet on and run down on the field with the roar of the crowd and the bands playing and get a chance to play football? I think the K-State football players, with a week off, go, oh my gosh, this is so much fun. And that gets a little pep in the step. And Coach Snyder talked about this week that he's had some of the most spirited practices he's had all year long. Well, I think the reason why they're more spirited is because they're not just working day to day to day. They suddenly realize, wow, not playing Saturday reminds me how much fun the games are.
Right.
This isn't work. Let's get after it. Let's get going. And I think the bye week does that for K-State. You can say it freshes them up and all of that, but I still think they work pretty hard. I think it's just that realization that they should have a childlike joy that we get a chance to play football. And I think the whole football team right now is excited about playing, not just getting better each day during the week. I think they're focused on Saturday and can't wait to hear the band and the crowd in Bill Snyder Family Stadium.
Well, they've done so, so well at home over the course of time. I want to remind everybody that this will be K-State's, just K-State's fifth Big 12 home opener. Okay, they always have a home opener, but it's the first, only the fifth time in 22 years in the league where they've actually started conference play at home. How weird is that? That's strange.
Yeah, it's a quirky deal in the schedule, isn't it? You think it should be around 10 to 11 to 12, right? The good news is about your stat there, Wyatt. K-State hasn't had many opportunities to start their schedule at home, but they've won every time they've been at home.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when the conference home opener was in Manhattan, and you said it didn't happen very often, right? But since Bill Snyder's been the head coach, a conference opener that is in Manhattan, Bill Snyder's only lost one of those ever.
Yeah.
And that's back in the Big 8 days. So hopefully that trend will continue. No Big 12 losses when the opening Big 12 conference game was at home, and only once in Bill Snyder's whole career has he lost that week. It's important to get off to a 1-0 start. It's hard. You go back to Bill Snyder's Big 12 record, I believe it's 9-9 in opening games in the Big 12 conference. But like you just pointed out, Wyatt, almost all of those are on the road. So
and to be 9-9 like that's incredible, right?
I mean, that's tough places, including Oklahoma, where they won recently as a opening game in the conference. So This is an important game, and especially coming off a loss and a week off. You can't let one loss lead to two, and when you have a week off in between, it will seem like forever since K-State won a game. A super important game against a very dangerous team. And if you just think for a second, and comparable scores are not the way you evaluate everything, right, Wyatt? But I'm still saying, if you go back and watch Oklahoma take care of Ohio State on the road and then think that Baylor played toe-to-toe with them for three quarters when they had their attention, I mean, Oklahoma goes, okay, now we're going to get mad. Here we come. And Baylor said, fine, and we're going to keep playing with you down after down after down. Baylor is a dangerous team and is a critical game to get off to another opening game win in Big 12 conference play, especially at home.
I couldn't agree more, and I think in every game there is some risk involved, but I think because of the situation that we have described here today with K-State coming off a loss and then a bye and then them kind of finding their rhythm offensively, is there more, I hate to use the word danger, but is there more risk involved for K-State with this one because of that?
Well, let's talk about that, Wyatt, because I think there's really two important viewpoints of this. I think compared to what I saw of Baylor 2 and 3 weeks ago, they are much more dangerous.
I agree.
They're back to what I thought they would be. I thought going into this week I would be sitting here saying Baylor has the potential to beat people because they have the athletes that were recruited so well and trained and are used to winning games. Okay? They started off last year 6-0. They fought back and won their bowl game. They got a coach that's enthusiastic. They've got some players. So I always thought that this was a dangerous game, that Baylor has an explosive style to them. But if you had asked me 2 or 3 weeks ago after they lost a couple of home games, I would have said, whoa, there's a lot of development with the new coaching staff. They're trying to play a style that's not familiar to this group of players. And while Coach Rule needs to teach them about that, they're going to find trouble because I didn't give them much chance to go on the road and beat Duke. Then they played Oklahoma, K-State, Oklahoma State. And I thought, boy, this is going to be a beaten-down group of players, and they're not going to be that dangerous. Sure, every game could be lost, and we know all that, but really dangerous, no. So a few weeks ago, I did not expect Baylor to be dangerous. Going into the year, I did expect them to be dangerous, and now they're back. But there's another side of this, Wyatt. If K-State would not have seen the Oklahoma game, how dangerous would that have been?
Mm-hmm.
K-State is so fortunate. We are so fortunate that we saw the real revised Baylor kick it in with a new coach, kick it in when they're playing Big 12 conference teams. Do you think their players really were focused when they were playing Liberty? Probably not. But you put Oklahoma out there, K-State, Oklahoma State, I think you're going to get the best of the Baylor Bears. But how shocking would it have been if they would have played like they did against Liberty for the first three games, they're 0-3, and then come to Manhattan or get wiped out by Oklahoma 59-0. And then change their offense, which they basically did before the Oklahoma game. They went back to the Baylor ways of what they're familiar with. If they would have shocked K-State without showing any of that throughout the early parts of the year, it may have been too late. Now, I don't want to disrespect Coach Snyder or the K-State football team about being ready, taking care of their business, being at home. But Wyatt, I think K-State caught a break, that Baylor showed their full colors. We saw how good Baylor was against Oklahoma. And that should heighten the awareness of the football team. When Coach Snyder's in there talking to the team throughout this week, saying, you better strap your helmet on tight, and you better play great pass defense, or these guys will shock you with the big plays that they can make. Get ready to go. I think the players now can watch a little tape and go, Coach is right on. Rather than, oh, Coach, Baylor's 0-4, they're not very good, they don't run the same offense. I don't know if that makes sense to you, Wyatt, but I think it was important and fortunate that we saw them play as well as they did against the Sooners.
We remind our listeners that the Wildcat Podcast this week is brought to you by Briggs, the official Wildcat Podcast presented by BriggsAuto.com, where they never match prices, they always beat them. BriggsAuto.com, longtime partner of K-State Athletics. By the K-State Superstore, customize your game day experience by shopping online at kstatesuperstore.com. K-State Superstore, official retailers of K-State Athletics. And by Kansas Land Tire, from the freeway to the field and everywhere in between, Wildcat fans trust the friendly folks at Kansas Land Tire and Service for all of their tire and auto service needs. Visit thetirestore.com for Kansas Land Tire near you. That's thetirestore.com. Let's shift gears for a moment and talk Kansas State men's basketball. It was media day at Kansas State in the middle of the week. It's hard to believe that basketball season is just around the corner for the Wildcats and, of course, all of the other nine schools that play in the Big 12. I know you're like me on this. It's going to sneak up on us quickly, but I am so looking forward to the new basketball season for so many, many reasons. And I think Bruce Weber feels like he's got a chance to be one of the surprise teams this year in the Big 12.
Yeah, I like when you're saying that the three guys that are returning aren't freshmen returning as sophomores. Now they're sophomores returning as juniors, and they're upperclassmen. And that gets you excited. Some of the recruiting that was done, obviously it is exciting to talk about the next stage of the academic year at the college level, and that's the basketball team. But Wyatt, I got to say, it's a little early. You know, they should move this thing back, in my opinion. We're barely getting started with football, and we're already ready to roll with basketball. And I think basketball is missing out on an opportunity. If they push back their schedule a little bit and not have March Madness but have April Madness or April whatever it needs to be called, they may get even higher ratings and be watched even more. But that being said, I think Bruce Weber is really happy about what's happened in the off season. And there are some guys who can step in some and make some plays. But just like I talk about so often, like with the football team, where my excitement level is not so much, hey, what about this new guy and that new guy? It's really about the same guys getting better.
Right.
That's where you make the big moves. Remember Jordan Willis, Defensive Player of the Year last year in the Big 12 Conference? What about his improvement from his junior to his senior year?
That's
the kind of improvement that vaults your team forward. And that's the kind of thing you get with a Barry Brown or a Dean Wade. What happens if Dean Wade takes that next step and really plays at another level? There's really no reason why, in my mind, that Dean Wade shouldn't take another step forward. And the offseason work he's had and the exposure he's had and the opportunities to play against top talent, I think he even talked about it when he was did an interview with K-State Sports Extra, saying that he didn't really think of himself as that good a player, but now he realizes how good he can be. Those things are so important, and I'm really excited about the returning starters upping their game. That's the number one improvement area I think K-State should have, is those sophomores becoming juniors.
Well, you say that so well, and I think it really does start with Dean Wade, and really the reason is pretty simple. He's 6'10 and 240. You know, those kind of guys are, they don't, you know, there are fewer of them than there are guys the size of Barry Brown and Kamau Stokes. Not that they're not important, too. They are. But K-State really has to have Dean Wade be a big-time player this year, don't they?
Yeah, and a third-year starter. Yeah. 6'10", 240, and a third-year starter. You should learn a lot of the intricacies of the moves that make sense. You know, we all say get in rebounding position. Well, you mentioned that I played football earlier. Well, if I had played basketball, I could tell you what rebounding position means, and maybe down to the millimeter, where you need to be, or what kind of leverage you need to have, or you know, what can you do with your elbow that isn't a foul, but make sure you get the rebound. Those are things now that he ought to be able to play off of and take advantage of younger players, you know, maybe even more talented players. You're 6'10", you're going against a 7'1 guy, but you know how to play out there. Kamau Stokes, he worked out with the NBA tryout camps. You know, good exposure. How are you going to take that opportunity to play at another level and bring that back to your game? And then I think, you know, we have some redshirt players that didn't play last year. That's the second area. I go back to my football analysis, and people are even more used to that, Wyatt. I say, tell me about the guys who've been starters getting better. Then let's talk about some redshirt players who have been around for a whole year and now get a chance to show us what they've got. And there's a good group of those guys. And then you add the newcomers, and in college basketball, more than other sports, you ought to be able to integrate those guys pretty quickly. You got two exhibition games. They play AAU basketball against high-level competition. So, yeah, I'm excited about the newcomers as well. But I think talking about some of those junior college, I mean, redshirt guys who are around who now get a chance to play, that's another added boost that a lot of people forget about. Because in basketball, you're so used to signing them and then them playing. In K-State's, kind of in a rare situation in the fact that they've got a couple of guys who redshirted, who were recruited a long time ago, but now are going to get their first action and use of eligibility.
Hard to believe this, but Kansas State will play an exhibition basketball game on Sunday, October 29th at home against Fort Hays State. Before we wrap up, a couple of other K-State notes, and I think most people, as we talk here, have heard this, but I've got to get just a quick thought from you on both stories. I guess maybe some not-so-good news and then really some quite good news, I guess I'll say. The down news is what happened to Darren Sproles this past Sunday, breaking his wrist, tearing his ACL. I don't know if this will be it for Darren. I don't know that we know that, but I want you to comment on this. This is a guy that in his NFL career is a little less than 500 yards from make that 20,000 career all-purpose yards. That's extraordinary.
You got to look at your notes closely to make sure you get the number right, because
exactly.
That's an outrageously high number.
20,000
yards. And then you think about all the ways that he's had to do it. He doesn't get to go line up at tailback like he did at K-State
right. Every
play of every game. You know, he's got to pick his third down opportunities and passing situations to get the run and pass and receive the football in the passing game and in his return game. He is amazing, and I can remember all the way back, because he's from Kansas City, I have a little different insight in the fact that Gene Weir was his high school coach at Olathe North. And I was getting ready to do a game that Darren Sproles was playing in high school. And so I was talking to Gene Weir about the situation, and he goes, "You won't believe this, Stan, but hardly anybody's recruiting him." I mean, and Gene Weir is a big KU fan, and he's knocking on the door of the Jayhawks and saying, "You got to take my guy. You got to take Darren Sproles." He goes, "They are not that interested, and Coach Snyder and K-State's interested, but other than that, around the country, not much interested." He goes, "He is the best player I've ever seen, and it's not even close." And so I just listened to him while I watched Darren work out, and I said, "You know, Coach Weir doesn't blow a lot of smoke. He wins state championships every year at Olathe North, and he knows a good player when he sees it. Boy, he sure is lavishing the praise on this young man." So I did this game, Wyatt, and this all-star game. And he took a pitch on an option about the 20-yard line. The ball snapped near the 15. The quarterback had to pitch it pretty early. So Darren was on the right hash mark with the football, already pitched to him. So there was not a lot of wonder about what was going to happen. It basically turned into a sweep. And there were three guys who had angles on him as he tried to turn the corner on the right side. And I'm no play-by-play guy here, Wyatt, but I'll do my best explaining it.
I was going to say, you're doing well.
He jukes this guy, then the next guy, then the next guy. He walks into the end zone untouched, would not bend down and touch football, and it's not some big run where he swung back and ran to the other side of the field and made guys spin and turn. Wyatt, he basically stayed on the same pitch arc. If you drew a line from where he started and arced it to the front pylon, he basically ran straight, but he made them think that he was going to cut. He just shuffled his feet somehow, and they just stopped, and he did it three times in a row with almost no room on the sideline and still went in. That was just one example. I remember what Gene Weir said to me the other day at practice. That was unbelievable. That he even gained 5 yards was incredible, that he went untouched into the end zone without some crazy cutback. Now, that doesn't even bring into the power that we know that he has. You know, when he powers into you, he is so strong. His weightlifting capability is so great. But the attitude that he brings to the team is the most amazing, Wyatt. You know, he had a stuttering problem that he's worked to overcome. Mm-hmm. And I am so proud of how he handles himself. He doesn't say much. He just shows by action how much he cares about the team. And getting the chance to interview him after his last game at K-State was so much fun, because he didn't want to be interviewed that much, but I talked him into it. And for him to come over and do an interview when he wasn't that comfortable at that time was really one of the great highlights of broadcasting at K-State. And
I'm
then
to you.
See him go out into the public, into the NFL world, and now speak up and have worked on that problem and talk to kids about it, and say, "You got to work at it. You got to have confidence. You got to give it a shot. Don't be embarrassed. You can do this." And now he is able to speak out to people so much better. But he didn't have to say many words because he is such a leader in how he worked in the weight room, in at practice and everything else, and just an incredible player. And we think about him and Terrence Newman, for instance, both, you know, elder statesmen in the National Football League, and they are two of the best players. Before Darren's injury, they were two of the best players playing right now, and yet they both were lightly recruited Kansas kids.
Right.
That K-State said, come on, and they ended up being near the greatest players in K-State history and some of the best of the NFL. And it's their stories parallel each other. So very sad to see Darren get injured. I hope he can bounce back if he wants to. I know he has another year in his contract with the Eagles. So if he wants to come back, I hope everything works out well and he gets a chance to go out again next year if he wants to.
He, by the way, is eighth all-time in NFL all-purpose yards right at the moment as we speak. And then finally, you talked about Darren getting a shot. Guess who else is going to get a shot? Yes, finally, Jacob Pullen. How cool is that?
That is super cool. Jacob's done so much, and what a humble attitude he's had going overseas and just playing great basketball, winning championships, you know, not just participating and getting a check,
right,
but making winning plays. And that's the thing that I really appreciate, because I don't care if you're in a 2A high school league right now and you're a kid listening to us, it is a big deal to be able to win your league. Or win a district, or how about a state championship? Are you kidding me? That is so unbelievable. And winners find a way to do that. And doesn't matter what level you are, there's something magical inside. And I know Jacob was a good player for Kansas State. I know we followed him from afar and rooted for him like a lot of other players. But the thing that I thought was so impressive is he's making championship level plays. And to me, that always meant in the back of my mind, he ought to get a chance in the NBA. He really should. When you're doing that well and you're that talented, you may not be the tallest guy in the world, and you may not be the youngest guy in the world, but why not? And we've seen one of my favorite guys and players, Rodney Magruder, battle and make it to be an NBA player. And we know that Jacob Pullen can play right there with Rodney Magruder. So why not Jacob Pullen in the NBA also? I'm very happy for him, and it's unfair to be too optimistic because it isn't easy.
Right.
I don't want anybody to be disappointed if he gets cut and doesn't play, but I'm excited and optimistic that he can make a difference and play.
He is just a terrific young guy, too, and we salute him for getting that opportunity, and we know that he'll do well, make it or not. Well, our show this week brought to you by BriggsAuto.com, by the K-State Superstore, and by Kansas Land Tire. Wildcats getting set to take on the Baylor Bears Saturday at 2:30. We'll have it for you on the K-State Sports Network from Learfield starting at 12:30. For Stan Weber, I'm Wyatt Thompson. Thanks for listening, Wildcat Nation.
This has been the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group, the K-State Superstore, and Kansas Land Tire. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.